gave you my heart, and I tried to make you happy, and you gave me nothing in return. You know it ain't so hard to say, but would you please just go away?
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday morning. What's led to this morning? Joining us now, we do this every Friday. My pleasure to introduce the returning champion of the Jeff Poore Show and my state senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Back in beautiful Josephine, Alabama, and out of Montgomery.
Well, you're starting to wear on people. It looks like being up there, just like, I got to go back to that place one more time, two more times, whatever.
I have seen my colleagues, a number of them, say, I don't know how you get in the car and drive up here every week. I mean, you know, you live at the beach or you live in Baldwin County, and it's, you know, it's the coolest place on earth, and yet here you are again. And so I certainly feel that way too sometimes. It's tough. And well, I know everybody's just ready to be done.
All right, being away from your family, and like maybe it's kind of like, it's like when Stathagen was on Wednesday, we were talking about it. It's like baseball season. It starts out spring training, you go through the formalities, and then you get into like opening day, and everybody's optimistic. So you know it's still, a lot can be done this season for you, but then like at some point when you're out of contention, you're kind of ready for it to be over with.
That out of contention thing is a good analogy. I think you're right about that.
When your bills are you didn't make it to the second round. Your bill didn't get out of your own chamber, and you had high hopes for it. I mean, it's just like, well, why did I even bother? You know.
Yep. I know it all too well. All too well, sir. Yeah.
Hey, this bridge deal, I was watching you on Capital Journal last night. I suspect you're right that it's part of some kind of settlement, and you could kind of explain a little bit more about that. But what do you think the conversation would have been like if all along we had said, well, the way we're going to do this, we're going to ultimately buy the toll bridge, make it free, and we're going to make that the southbound way, and then with this bridge to nowhere will be for northbound traffic. What do you think of that, and would this conversation have gone a little different?
I think in all likelihood it would have. I mean, the support locally for this project probably would have been different had the locals known that this was ALDOT's intention. And so this is, you know, another one of those scenarios where we need to do our local work ahead of time and make sure we have everybody on board, you know, prior to the state doing its thing. I mean, that happened with I-10, you know, and the NPOs early on. And so we see this here. Look, the story of the day still needs to be ALDOT's buying this bridge and there won't be any tolls anymore. That is good news. Okay. There's no question about that. Yay, Governor Ivey. Yay, Director Cooper. I'm on board. Everybody, you know, I don't want that to get lost. But how we connect to the new bridge, the Cooper Bridge, I call it, and how traffic flows around those two bridges is very important to Mayor Kraft and Mayor Kennan and the county commission and certainly to me. It's one of those things we've got to all be on the same page about how that works. And so I think you're going to need to be some other conversations that need to take place. Nobody knows better how traffic works than a local mayor. I mean, a mayor of a small town knows their traffic patterns better than anyone. And so they have got to be consulted. Their buy-in has to happen successful.
I agree with that, but let's kind of talk about it. Like, I don't know what to think of this. Well, what might be some of the concerns with doing it this way, you think?
So first of all, if you're trying to move traffic onto the island, which I think is exactly what ALDOT is trying to do, certainly peeling that southbound traffic off and putting it on one bridge and dumping it on Canal Road with no opposed turns. You don't have to sit at a light. It's free flow of traffic. You get to merge and get on Canal Road and do your thing. That's a very efficient way to do it. Taking everybody that's leaving the beach, putting them on a two-lane northbound bridge, that's a very efficient way to do it. I understand the logic. The problem is locally, and just next week, a week from now, Gulf Shores is breaking ground on their $150 million high school right there by the gas station just north of the bridge and the toll plaza. How is that traffic going to get there? Are they going to drive to Orange Beach to go to Gulf Shores High?
Well, just go down 59, right?
Well, I thought our point was to get traffic off of 59. That was the whole point of the new bridge, right?
I mean, would the knock on this bridge that Robert Kraft was so for it because that's where the high school is going to be, and then if it turns out they Aldot does it this way, that this really does upset that those designs.
I think that's a fair statement. And again, I'm not. Please don't mistake. I'm not knocking the purchase of the toll bridge and the settlement of that lawsuit. I think it's a wise move at this point, given the chess pieces on the board, and it's a good investment. And thank you again. I just think we need to have more conversations and more studies about exactly how these patterns are going to work. You know, you've got a huge investment and a continued investment at the wharf, right? Art Farve and company have bought the Bama Bayou location there and are making significant investment there. How is this going to affect, that area and that growth and that revenue that the state generates? There are all kinds of things to take into account, and I just think it's important to sit down with local elected officials that know more than I do, certainly, about these issues, and take all of that into account when you're talking about changing the traffic pattern. I think that's just very important.
Do you think the price the state paid for it was a good price? I mean, was it a fair price?
Well, they're spending $65 million building a bridge right next door to it. So $60 million for a bridge that's already built and functioning seems to be a reasonable price. And when you layer in there the fact that this is also likely settling a lawsuit to which the state had significant liability from an inverse condemnation claim, then yes, I think the state got a good deal. Now, I don't want a Monday morning quarterback and go back and say, hey, was there a better way to execute this? There may very well have been, but that milk is spilled and let's move on. But yeah, I think overall, probably, if you just compare it to the bridge next door, pretty reasonable price.
What about the bridge company? Did they get a good price?
Well, I think probably so too. Aldot had put them in a situation where their asset was not going to be worth a whole lot because there was a free auction right next door. And so their property was going to be significantly devalued, and they were going to have a long and likely protracted court battle in front of them to recoup from this inverse condemnation lawsuit. And so at some point you make the business decision to, bird in the hand and let's settle this and move on. So, I mean, again, I think it's clearly both parties thought it was a good price and a good settlement and agreed to move forward with it. So, to the extent that negotiation is complete and is done in good faith, I think that all parties are probably happy with the outcome.
Well, I also think this, and this is, I mean, this is not insignificant, but getting the Beach Express from Bucky's all the way to Canal Road, I mean, you take the bridge out of it, now the state's going to have to be, and there were already talks what they were going to do, they were going to take that over, right, from the city of Foley. But, does that open up that corridor, open up possibilities, or what do you make of that aspect of it?
Look, I think, if you look back and you start piecing all of this together, $65 million on a new bridge, $60 million for removing the toll and purchasing the existing toll bridge, the additional infrastructure investment that's going to be required to connect to the new bridge. I mean, I think you're looking at just shy of $150 million right there. No state senator can be disappointed with the fact that you've got $150 million of investment right there in you know, in your district. And then, to your point, it will continue to move the needle on the discussion about Baldwin Beach Express North from 10 to 65, which absolutely needs to happen. I've been talking about the county commission about moving forward with right-of-way acquisition on that project. They absolutely need to do that so that they can put some skin in the game and have that project ready to go for, you know, future administrations. But I'm thrilled with, you know, the investment that's been made in Baldwin County. We continue to see more state dollars spent in Baldwin County than any other county in the state. And there is no way any senator couldn't be happy with that.
Well, yeah, and it's $60 million on the bridge just seems like a rounding error on the West Alabama corridor, right? I mean, like, because when I see that and you put it in perspective, I mean, this is, you know, obviously that's a much longer highway or whatever, $1 billion, but this just seems like a drop in the bucket.
Well, that's all well and good, but let's understand there's a difference between an idea of a plan and planning to spend and actually spending. This money's been allocated, appropriated, and spent. I think the price tag on the West Alabama corridor is going to be between $1.8 and $2 billion, and I think it's going to be cost prohibitive, and I don't think it's going to get spent. The I-10 bridge over Mobile River, $3.5 billion. You know, we can talk about those projects all we want to, but the money we're talking about now in South Baldwin County has been spent and allocated.
Where does the money for this come from? What state fund does the governor have the authority to do this?
That's a good question. This is capacity improvement money under Rebuild Alabama. So this is gas tax money that's being spent in Baldwin County, statewide gas tax money that's being spent in Baldwin County. So, you know, again, those that are frustrated with, you know, a gas tax vote, and from my perspective, I look at it and say, guys, here's the return. This is absolutely getting our share. This is what getting our share looks like. And I'm, you know, and we're clearly seeing the results of that. And I'm tickled.
This is a W for John Cooper, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, he's certainly, it's a W for me. Okay. I mean, I'm happy with that. You know, again, I don't want to Monday morning quarterback it and say, hey, was there a better way to do this? That's not a helpful conversation at this point, but yeah, I think it is. Now how it could turn not into a W is if you create a local traffic problem or you have, you know, local electeds that are not keen on what you're proposing. So the purchase of a bridge, absolutely W. How you implement the traffic flow around that is the sticky part and one that I just think needs more conversation.
Well, and that's the thing, like the governor's press release yesterday, and I was kind of sitting there wondering, what does Mayor Kraft think of this? Because Tony Kennon, very, very applaudatory, or at least in writing he was. And I've been on air here, Senator, since the end of 2020 in Mobile, and it's a typically good for a Tony Kennon appearance, maybe once every couple of months. And yeah, not been able to make it on the program in quite a while. And I was like, oh, they were negotiating something and they didn't want him out, or he was protecting himself against himself here. Maybe that had something to do with it. But conspicuously missing was Mayor Kraft from all of this.
Well, I should learn from Mayor Kennon sometimes and be conspicuously absent on some things. But, look, Mayor Kennon negotiated very well. Yes, he was involved in these negotiations. I certainly was aware of that. I mean, he ended up with, you know, $3 million in cash, for his lost revenue, you know, future lost revenue. But that's present value money, right? That's money in the hand right now as opposed to what it would have been in the future. And he was really looking at the same things, that the bridge company was looking at in terms of decrease in revenue. So I think Mayor Kennon did an excellent job for his city, which is what mayors are supposed to do, negotiating. And so this is certainly a win for Tony Kennon too, as long as he's happy with the proposed traffic flow. And so I think that's just something that's going to need more conversation, more study, frankly. I mean, we need some empirical data and to look at this and see how is this going to work. And while I suspect that has not happened, I'm not sure of that, but I really don't think that these, both of these mayors, including Foley to some extent, have been consulted on how this is going to work. And so I think that really needs to happen in order for this to be successful.
Well, one more thing on this, and I assume this is part of the plan, like, one of the big arguments for that third bridge was always getting folks off the island in the event of tropical weather. And there's got to be some kind of plan or some kind of, or lay that out for us. I mean, like, you know, you got to shut down the southbound bridge and make them all outbound or something like that when the time comes that there is, in the event that there is a need to evacuate the island.
And those are conversations that are imperative, that need to happen between ALDOT and again, Mayor Cannon and Mayor Kraft and their staffs, is to figure out how we do that and what's the best way to do that so that we have a coordinated approach to evacuations. I mean, I remember Governor Bentley ordering an evacuation one time and the locals went, no, we're not doing that, because it would have been more problematic. It just wouldn't have worked. And so having those conversations early on with the State Department of Transportation is crucial. And it's just different here, Jeff. I mean, it's when you look at what we're dealing with, 8 million visitors a year, this is not, you know, small town in central Alabama. This is a different ballgame altogether, and we just have different transportation problems that require more attention and more coordination between state and locals than other places. I mean, I'm not trying to say it's special. It's just different, and it requires, you know, those conversations to take place, not just for everyday traffic, not just for one weekend a year traffic where you may have, you know, Talladega or you know, Rock the South in Coleman or some big event. We have 100,000 extra people on the island every weekend during the tourist season. We move an Iron Bowl every weekend. And so we've got to take that into account when designing our traffic, our infrastructure, our transportation infrastructure in South Alabama.
Well, Senator, congratulations. We made it this entire segment without talking about gambling or occupational licensing reform or any of that, but we always appreciate having you on.
Thanks for having me, and yes, that's a win, if nothing else, that we didn't have to talk about that.
State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.